All discussion during the Invest Wisely program is intended for informational and educational purposes. It is not an offer to buy or sell, or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any security or instrument, or to participate in any particular trading strategy. We do not offer tax, accounting, or legal advice. Consult your tax or legal advisor before making any decision that could affect your tax or legal situation. All investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. You should carefully consider investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of any investment before investing. Diversification and asset allocation do not guarantee a profit or guarantee against loss. Securities and investment advisory services are offered by Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated, a registered broker, dealer, and investment advisor. Member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
And good morning to you. Time once again for Invest Wisely with Walt Sokira, the managing partner of Akron's AKW Group. Of course, as always, they take their clients' monies and invest them in individually owned stocks and custom-designed portfolios to meet their particular needs. Hey, the month of October is coming to a close. And so far, nothing really scary has happened. That's right. October can be a scary month in the markets, but it's been a pretty good October. A little bit of a back off this past week on the Dow and some of the other indices. But overall, as we approach the end of October, I think, well, we've done pretty well.
Yeah, we got to be pleased, Bob. October was traditionally a tough month, and especially heading up towards an election, which we knew was going to be fairly divisive for the country. You know, you had to kind of worry coming into this year, thinking what it was going to be like in the fall. But we've been surprised and pleasantly surprised. But I think a lot of it has to do with the underlying fundamentals of the economy, the fact that a lot of companies continue to surprise, you know, corporate America leading the way. A lot of great companies out there doing a lot of great things, showing they can continue to grow. And, you know, so overall, a lot of really good results. And as you said, as we look at last week, we saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average lose for the week. The Dow Jones was off 2.7%, lost about 1,161 points. But year to date, we're still up 11.7% on that Dow. The broader market, the S&P 500 index, lost 1% for the week. We lost about 56 points there. But year to date, we're up 21.8%, Bob. And then the NASDAQ found a way to continue to push forward. Last week had a positive week of 0.2%, and we have a little divergence now. That NASDAQ composite is 23.4% year to date. The small mid caps did give up a little bit more last week, off about 3% for the week. And year to date now sit at 8.9%. But all those returns, no matter what index you look at, you know, small mid cap, whatever large cap index you're looking at, you know, those are pretty good numbers. And, you know, so we're sitting here heading into, an election and the end of the year, and everybody has to be feeling pretty good if you're an investor. But the key is the work ahead of us, making sure we get those portfolios structured in a way we want them as we head into 2025.
Now, of course, the Fed, with its interest rate increases and the like, was really trying to keep the economy on a keel that would prevent a so-called hard landing. So far, even with that September 18th rate cut, the markets have improved, and again, the growth outlook is intact. If the earnings continue to grow the way they are and the economic data continues to surprise us in this nice way that it has, it would seem that the Federal Reserve will be justified and, I guess, maybe given some kudos for actually doing the right thing.
They've done a pretty good job. And again, coming off of some scenarios that we didn't have historically, you know, I mean, COVID changed everything. We saw that, especially the labor market. And I think that was the hardest thing to read. Everybody knew inflation was out of control. Everybody knew the Fed needed to step in to help. But, you know, inflation is the most devastating impact on any economy. And I think, you know, pushing rates higher definitely has slowed down a lot of parts of our economy. But again, consumers continue to be resilient. Consumers continue to spend. I think jobs are out there for people that want to work. And, you know, it's a competitive job market. But overall, you know, the Fed has done a pretty good job. We saw them, you know, obviously lower rates the last time they met. The belief is we'll continue to see some lower rates as we move forward, and that should be supportive of the economy. So, again, Bob, we sit in a pretty good point, and we got to feel pretty good about the work the Fed has done up to here.
I mentioned the election coming up, of course, 10 days away, and it's often said the market will predict the election by how the market is doing even before. They have already maybe decided the election on their own. That's how the market should respond. With the market doing as well as it is, and, of course, the poll saying the next election is a toss-up, it seems the market has already decided that they don't particularly care who gets elected. They have confidence that things are going to go on just as well as they were.
Now, Bob, and I think a part of that goes back to the belief that we're still going to have a split government. You know, if you have the Senate pointed one way and the House pointed the other, it really kind of puts the White House in check a little bit. I think the market really likes, government that can do less. It says, I don't know what that says, but I think the confidence has always been in people. And, you know, the fact that, our freedoms and, you know, the belief that we'll do the right thing over time. So, I think the government is, getting some messages from the market, and hopefully, you know, the government will find good policies that goes forward, no matter who leads the way, to continue to move this great country forward.
Now, we're near the midpoint of the earnings seasons for the third quarter, and it seems like the Magnificent Seven, the handful of U.S. mega-cap technology stocks, are really generating a disproportionate share of earnings growth. Analysts say these Magnificent Seven will generate average third-quarter growth of some 18%. In contrast, the other 493 companies in the S&P 500 are projected to grow only about 0.1%. Is there so much weight being involved in one sector of the economy kind of an iffy thing for the market?
Well, Bob, it just shows, you know, these companies have become so important to our economy, to the United States, to so many, you know, workers out there that work for these companies, and so many customers that rely on their innovation. And, they have financial power. You know, a lot of these Mag 7 stocks, you know, they have incredible revenue growth, incredible profits. They have cash flow to invest into all the new technologies that everybody's talking about. And, you know, they're going to continue to lead the way. And there really is a disproportionate amount of power there. But, you know, Bob, I think they did it the right way. You know, they did it through innovation. They did it through, investing back in their businesses, taking risks, you know, going after technologies that years ago people wouldn't even have thought would exist. And they're continuing to do so as we go forward. So they're rewarded, and that's the way our system works. You know, capitalism says those that are willing to take the risk and invest the money should be rewarded. That's definitely what we're seeing as you look at those Magnificent Seven stocks.
Now, the one segment of the economy that has not done as well, and undoubtedly because of the impact of the higher interest rates, has been the housing market. The National Association of Realtors reports that sales of previously owned homes fell 1% in September relative to the previous month, compared with September of 2023, when sales were down more than 3.5%. So this one area we have to look forward to see if those lower interest rates will eventually impact that and bolster the housing market.
Yeah, Bob, I think you're right. I mean, that's one place the Fed really slowed the economy down, and, you know, we see weakness there. I think there's still a lot of demand out there for housing, especially if you look at the new housing market. But again, you got to be able to afford it, and a lot of people are on the margin now. You know, those interest rates make a big difference in the affordability. You know, how much prices are per month, really, you know, budgets, and ability to qualify for loans also. So, interest rates will be a big part of what we see as far as the real estate market as we look forward.
Now, the price of crude oil rose almost 5% for the week, about $72 per barrel by Friday afternoon, but it didn't offset the previous decline of more than 8% the week before, oil prices remaining well below their high of $83 in early July, and the prices at the pump, for whatever reason, are starting to fall considerably, with average prices now well below $3 a gallon in our area.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been an interesting, market with the oil market this year, and still a lot of geopolitical tensions, a lot of tensions over there in the Middle East, which could send prices soaring at any moment, depending on, what happens over there. We'll have to continue to, keep an eye over there. But the trends have been, a little volatile. We've seen up and down movements, but overall still sitting around that, $70 barrel is still a pretty good price range for consumers and for pocketbooks, as you said. Ultimately, kind of getting down to what price per gallon comes out of that price of that barrel over time. So a lot of other, products that are impacted by the price of oil. So overall, pretty good trend and one that we'll just have to keep an eye on.
Once again, we're talking to Walt Sokirov, who's the managing partner of Akron's AKW Group, about investing in individual stocks in the U.S. stock market. Time to look at the Trends and Insights section of the show, where Walt has pointed out some many interesting things he has observed in his massive research over the past week that might have an impact eventually on the price of stocks that you might be interested in. So millennials in their early 30s saw their median wealth quadruple from 2019 to 2022, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Rather than having their finances drained by the pandemic, the safety nets that sprang up made a difference, according to Lowell Ricketts, who is a data scientist at that St. Louis Fed. That has left millennials far better off than even the baby boomers, who are at a similar age. One striking difference, though, is the wealth gap between the generations most and least wealthy. If you take out the extremes of wealth and poverty, the gap for millennials is 20% wider than it was for the baby boomers. That means that while millennials might be doing better than their predecessors, they also might be the most economically divided generation that America has ever seen.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, you know, continuing to look at demographics and impacts of demographics, this has always been a big part of insights that I've been exposed to. You know, I mentioned years ago, I got to work with Harry Dent, who was a famous demographer, you know, a best-selling author. I worked closely with the Dent Group for a long time, and, you know, obviously he was a big into demographics and impacts of the demographic waves. And we've seen a lot of changes, and you know, those continue to shift and change. And as we mentioned, the pandemic has had an impact on different generations. You look at the millennials, fascinating group. I mean, it's kind of the future of where we're headed now. Baby boomers continue to retire and get older, and there's going to be a huge amount of wealth distribution, you know, going on over the next 15 to 20 years. So a lot of trends to pay attention to as far as demographics go. And a lot of them lead you to certain investment thoughts that may be where the profits come or the losses come. So you got to pay attention to demographics.
We mentioned about the housing market, and again, another statistic telling us the same thing we already knew. There were 3.84 million homes, the estimate of the U.S. existing home sales in 2024 so far. That is the worst performance since 1995, and again for the second year in a row. We already talked about that, and we can only hope that lower interest rates in the future and maybe more housing units being built will take care of that.
Absolutely, Bob. And then again, we just, you know, continue to watch that housing market and what the Fed does and ultimately what banks do with those mortgage rates.
Barron's had a feature article this week about insurance of all types, especially long-term care insurance, the challenges of rising premiums and other all kinds of insurance, including home, auto, car, again, business insurance. Everything seems to be going up, possibly with the exception of life insurance. This has got to have an ultimate impact on the market. And, of course, for retirees and those looking at long-term care, it's going to create a lot of different strategies for those folks to try to pay those bills.
Yeah, Bob, you know, long-term care has been around a long time. You know, this was a big, selling point. You know, you go back to the 2000s, there were so many premiums being written in long-term care. I think the article talks about 585,000 policies written in 2000. Last year, only about 35,000 policies written. And a lot of the reason is cost. You know, it's premiums continue to soar. The cost of covering people as they live longer is harder and harder. I mean, this is intuitively a great idea. The fact that, you know, we all know the cost. If we've had a loved one that's headed towards, some type of assisted living or full, you know, nursing care as they get older, we know the cost of this. And of course, insuring against it makes all the sense in the world, but you got to be able to afford it. And, this is another insurance that we see the costs are skyrocketing. And for a lot of people, it's just can't afford it. You got to put this in early in your life if, something you worry about. And, you know, people in their 30s and 40s need to be thinking about it. Typically, people wait, you know, till their 50s, 60s, and they start worrying about long-term care. And sometimes that's too late because the premiums are so high. So a lot of interesting trends. Are a great article. Just kind of shows the challenge that people have out there in the insurance industry right now.
And Barron's also had the issue this week with the big money poll. So, Walt, you saw that. What do you see in the big money poll that might surprise you?
Well, you know, surprisingly, you know, still a lot of people are bullish. About 50% of, my comrades out there in the industry are bullish as they look forward, about 32% neutral. As you just look through, I think one of the things that's the biggest risk, you hear everybody talking about here is still inflation coming back, geopolitical turmoil. economic slowdowns, they're still worried about excessive valuations, which I think we do see in certain parts of the market. You know, we spend a lot of time thinking about valuations. Political turmoil, hopefully we get through this election with a lot of, we don't have a lot of backlash out of that. Disappointing earnings and monetary policy mistakes. So, you know, Bobby, you read through this, and it's interesting. I think a lot of people see the market as fairly valued here. But again, people continue to be optimistic about investing, as we do. Over the long run, 3 to 5 years out, we're still pretty confident. 3 to 5 days, 3 to 5 weeks, 3 to 5 months, who knows? But you look out 3 to 5 years, and you still have to feel pretty good about investing.
Yeah, time to talk about stocks individually now with Stock Talk with Walt Sakura. It's your chance to give us a call at 330-673-1234 and ask Walt about any particular stock issue that you're intrigued with. Whether you own it, you want to own it, you think you should sell it, give Walt a call and call us on the air at 330-673-1234. Listening online, you can use our toll-free line at WNR.com, 800-669-4100. So earnings season, full swing Friday. Two major U.S. banks released their third-quarter results, and shares of both institutions climbed. Following their reports, analysts are forecasting their earnings for all companies in that S&P 500 would rise by that average about 4.1%, according to FactSet overall. Does that mean to see? Does that kind of make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. About 37% of the S&P 500 companies now reported, Bob. We're seeing about 75% of those come in with positive earnings surprises. 59% have reported positive revenue surprises. And, overall, we're off to a pretty good start in earnings. And next couple of weeks are going to be really big. We're going to get a lot of big reports coming in. So, people's eyes will be glued to those earnings as they're reported.
And one of your long-term holdings in your Crocky portfolio is Tesla, with Elon Wallflower Musk in charge of that. They saw earnings come in very strong. They announced a rather surprising 9% EPS gain, snapping a four-quarter string of year-over-year declines. While sales are kind of light, investors are cheering as the gross margins jumped on Tesla energy margins, as lower raw material costs and other factors are, again, aiding this major manufacturer of electric cars.
Yeah, so, Bob, we feel good. We've hung in here. We talked about this a lot. I think the price started to break down a little bit this year. We had mentioned we were going to hang in here, and we're glad we did. I think they had their big event a couple weeks ago. It didn't go over very well. Mark, sold off, but here they go. You report some good earnings, and you talk about the future and innovation. Elon Musk talks about deliveries rising 20-30% next year. They continue to be the innovator, and they continue to strive for price leadership. So, again, this is an important company, and then, again, one of few that have really been able to compete in this auto world where, the old companies really have dominated for years. So we continue to like Tesla, not just as a car company, but truly as a technology company we look forward, Bob.
Now, Tesla is only one of two auto sector companies you have in your portfolios. Tesla has a very high valuation, 62 times earnings. Another small cap mid-portfolio that you have is Ferrari Motors of Italy. They're at 58 times earnings. Now, when you look at the other car companies, they trade a lot cheaper. Ford is 7 times earnings, GM 5 times earnings, Mercedes-Benz 5 times earnings. Now, why should an investor pay such a premium for these stocks like Tesla or Ferrari or any other company?
Bob, again, it goes back to execution. Ferrari has done an amazing job with, they sell to fewer people, but they do a great job at who they sell to. Plus the pace of innovation. They have filed more patents in the last 3 years, since 74. They got a lot of patents out there. Tesla has a lot of patents. For us, innovation is a really key component of potential growth. And I think people pay a little bit more premium for the fact that these companies are leaders, they're innovative, the innovators, they're not, copycat competitors out there. So we like to, not afraid to pay the premiums if we think we're getting the value. And with Tesla and Ferrari, we think we are.
So it seems to be important that you consider innovation vital when you're looking to pick a stock.
It really is, Bob. And there's so many different types of innovation. There's incremental innovation, disruptive innovation out there, radical innovation, process innovation. There's lots of different ways that companies innovate and continue to move things forward. You look at something like Apple, where they continue to bring out new devices and make improvements, incremental improvements to their devices. And then you look at companies out there that are truly, you know, developing technologies that no one has. You know, we mentioned TransDigm, which is a company we invest in. They have over 2,563 patents globally, 1,548 of them have been granted. You know, that's and 46% of those are active. And, you know, when you have a company, you know, doing things out there that nobody else can do, it creates some pricing power. It helps protect revenues and profits. And so there's a lot of reasons to like companies that innovate.
Let's take some calls now for Walt Secure on Stock Talk at 330-673-1234. Good morning. You're on WNIR.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
My name is Becca.
Hey, Becca, how are you?
I'm great. I'll be honest. I'm not much of an investor, but I guess I wanted expert opinion. I have about $3,500 to invest. And what would you recommend?
Well, you know, I think when you're talking a smaller amount of money, maybe looking at looking at some funds, some exchange traded funds. I think there's lots of ways to, you know, put that money to work and get it growing over time. So it's definitely a good idea when you have some excess money that you can put in the market to, you know, think about doing that. So,
well, what's the best way to do that?
You know, the best way to do it is, I think, talk to someone. I mean, if you don't have the expertise, I mean, talk to somebody that can lead you that direction. I mean, on this show, obviously, we talk a lot about individual stocks, but there's a lot of good firms out there that focus on, you know, these different types of funds that allow people to invest in certain parts of the market, certain industries, where you might have an interest. But, definitely, I would do some research and, you know, read a little bit, maybe talk to some people and get some more ideas. But we definitely think, you know, investing and putting your money into the market over time is a good idea.
Okay. Well, thank you for the information.
Oh, sure. Anytime, Becca.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. 330-673-1234. You're on with Walt Secura.
Konnichiwa. Hello, Becca. I would tell Becca to watch Kramer. It's very entertaining, and she would learn a lot over the next couple months, and it would be an exciting endeavor or hobby to watch that and learn all about it. It's a fascinating hobby. But anyway, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing good, Ken. How are you?
Good. There's frost on the pumpkin.
For sure. It's cold this morning.
Hey, I found out I can talk to my navigation system in the new car. You talk to it and tell them the address. You don't have to type it in. I just wish it would put a CD in the thing. But anyway, I don't know how long. Is that AI, whether that's AI or not, but it's a real convenience. But anyway, you've mentioned fashion stock. Have you ever done any? You mentioned Buckle a while back, and then I wondered, I know Ralph Lauren is a good fashion stock, and you've had success in some shoe companies and different things. There's one there, Guess. It has a question mark in their logo. Are you familiar with Guess? G-E-S, symbol G-E-S.
Right.
Yeah. Is there any? They put out the best annual report, but it's kind of a bow wow.
Yeah, that one struggled a little bit. I think the last couple quarters, the earnings have been not too powerful. On the fashion side, I think we like the luxury companies a little bit better. I mean, I'd probably be looking more at Louis Vuitton and Tapestry, and I think there's other ideas out there on the fashion side. A lot of the clothing manufacturers, it's tough. Lululemon might be one we're taking a look at.
Yeah, okay. I just wondered, these low PE, high dividend, make a new low things always get my attention. That's why I guess look good again. But anyway, well, you guys have a good week.
All right. Sounds good, Ken.
Happy Halloween.
Same to you.
Yeah, don't take any wooden stocks when you go collecting door-to-door.
There you go.
Now, Walt, one of your favorite stocks in your small mid-cap portfolio is Vertiv. They reported earnings last week. They beat their views with a 46% EPS gain and 19% sales rise to just over $2 billion. The data center infrastructure company guided slightly lower on their fourth quarter sales, but the price of their shares continued to rise.
It's a company out of Wellington, Ohio. Bob, we talked about it a few times. It services, you know, power management, you know, the heating and the cooling and the power delivered to these data centers and a lot of these high-tech facilities. They do things like critical power, thermal management. They make racks and enclosures. They monitor and provide management and other services to these important infrastructure components that really support an industry that's growing very, very, very fast. And they work throughout the world. It's a fascinating little company, not often thought of as a tech company because it services tech companies, but Vertiv, symbol VRT. We like the results and, like the outlook. We continue to believe in this company as we go forward. It's a part of our small mid-cap portfolio and one that we don't expect to be selling anytime soon.
Now, Boeing still on strike. Their workers rejected a deal that would have hiked their pay by 35% over 4 years. And the other troubles that the manufacturer is having, they report that an adjusted loss of more than $10 per share, more than the $3.26 last year, and slightly worse than expected. Boeing revenue dipped 1%. And earlier in October, Boeing announced plans to cut 10% of that workforce, about 17,000 jobs, and again, the price of shares fell. You've talked before about Boeing, and you think even at the current price, it could be worth a look for long-term investors, as bad times can't continue forever.
Yeah, Bob, I think, you look at where this stock has traded down to. It was $446 a share back in 2019. We're at $155 right now. They made a ton of execution mistakes, and they've had problems with the planes, and now they got the labor issue being battled through. But you got to believe, at least think, over the long run, things may look better for them. And this is a point in time if you're going to buy a stock. As Ken said, these falling stocks sometimes it's worth taking a look. So if they can get the strike behind them and get back to focusing on business and right some of the wrongs they've had. Maybe this stock has some good potential ahead of it, but it's tough to buy a stock when you see things faltering all around it. But we're definitely taking a peek here, a little bit of bargain shopping. We haven't invested in the company yet, but it definitely has our eye. We're paying attention to all the issues that Boeing faces at the current time.
Now, Progressive, the locally based insurance company, continues to amaze the industry, reporting their third quarter earnings per share spiking 110%. Net premiums written jumped 25% to $19.5 billion. Their operating EPS in September did come to 83 cents, with losses from Hurricane Helene representing about 75 cents of that. So in spite of the pressures on insurance companies, Progressive seems to be one that's doing quite well.
Yeah, we like Progressive, Bob. And as we mentioned, they just have this built-in ability to raise prices a little bit. You need insurance. It's not something you can ignore as long as they stay within some, I think parameters. They probably continue to grow a pretty quick rate, rates here. So last quarter, 25% revenue increase, 110% profit increase. Stock still trades at about 18 times earnings as we look forward. So we're still a big believer in Progressive, obviously local company, and one that continues to really hit on all cylinders.
And again, if you'd like to talk to Walt or any of his team when we're talking about stocks right now, you don't have to wait for us to be on the air on a Sunday morning. Call them anytime in Akron. Tell them you heard them on WNIR at Akron. 234-466-7476 is their number there in Fairlawn. 234-466-7476 for the AKW Group, Walt Secura and his team. And remember, too, they offer a lot of other services in combination with the Robert W. Baird Company. So if you have any questions about your money, investments, any financial matter, give them a call. They can give you some good advice. 234-466-7476. And again, that's 234-466-7476. Walt, last week of October coming up, and a happy Halloween to you.
Happy Halloween to you, Bob.
We'll talk to you next Sunday. I'm Mr. Sunday, Bob Lewis.
During today's broadcast, the following individual stocks were mentioned and discussed. Apple Inc., symbol AAPL. The Boeing Company, symbol BA. Buckle Inc., symbol BKE. Ford Motor Company, symbol F. Guess Inc., symbol GES. General Motors, symbol GM. Lululemon Athletica, symbol LULU. Louis Vuitton, LVMH, Moët. Hennessy, symbol LVMUI. Mercedes-Benz, symbol MBGYY. The Progressive Company, symbol PGR. the Ferrari Company, symbol RACE. Polo Ralph Lauren, symbol RL. Tesla Inc., symbol TSLA. Tapestry Inc., symbol TPR. TransDigm Group Incorporated, symbol TDG. And Vertiv Holdings Company, symbol VRT. Please note that Robert W. Baird & Company Incorporated makes a market on all the securities of these companies discussed during today's broadcast. In addition, Robert W. Baird & Company Incorporated and its affiliates have received investment banking compensation from the Boeing Company, BA, in the past 12 months. The Boeing Company, symbol BA, is or was an investment banking services client of Robert W. Baird within the last 12 months.